Good morning. Kleenex if you need them. First of all, I've never done a press conference for Your Ecstasy, so forgive me if this kind of rambles and I don't give you what all you need. But what I'd like to do right now is just make a few brief comments about the store, how we got here, the situation we're in. My plan, and then I'm willing to take questions from anybody here, and then if you need any one-on-one time to get your sound bites for the news or whatever, I'm happy to give that to you. I'll answer as many questions as I can. Thank you for being here. I'm going to have to lighten up because I'm going to start crying, and that's not going to end very quickly. No, I got my own box, Ron. Thanks. I brought enough for everybody, though. Okay, thanks. Have you seen the Bill Murray movie Groundhog Day? Okay, where he continues to live this day over and over and over again. Well, for the last 3 months, I've been having this press conference at about 3 a.m. in my head, and actually, it's better attended than I had hoped. So, thanks for being here. It'll be nice to get this out of the way and to move on today and see what the future brings for Your Ecstasy. I prepared a bunch of notes, I'll try not to ramble too much. I'll try to be as concise as I can. Let me make this clear. The last thing I want to do is close this store. I want this store to live on. It's become apparent in the last few days how much this store means to people. As the owner, I see this store totally different than you do, and totally different than the way my customers see it. I see what this store can be and what's wrong with it. And just the outpouring of support even before this conference has been very humbling and inspiring and putting things into a little bit better perspective. I do not want to close the store. I'm going to do everything I can to keep it open. I prefer not to move. I've had some great offers for anywhere from free rent to reduced rent to, just all sorts of great offers. It's been my experience. I've moved this store up and down Bardstown Road many times, and I actually had a second store in the suburbs in Middletown. And trust me, if there's anything I know, this store belongs here on Bardstown Road. I am in negotiations with the property managers to see what we can do to make it work. We may have to downsize the store just because of the economy and the nature of the music business. I just want all the customers and fans of this store to know that I will do whatever it takes to keep this going as long as you want it. I apologize to everybody that's called and written me emails and tried to get a hold of me. It's just been, like I said, it's been overwhelming, and I do still have work to do every day, and I try to do the best I can. I want to thank the staff for the dedication to this store over the years. The staff is, they're the ones that make this store. I mean, it's the customers that support it, but it's my staff, it's not me. I may have opened this store, but I learned very early on that the store was no longer mine. It belongs to not only the people that work here and are the front line, but it belongs to the customers that apparently the store means so much to. I'd like to thank everybody that's ever shopped here. You're the ones that have made the store possible, and you're the ones that can save it. I'd like to send out a special thanks to a young lady I've never met. Her name is Becca Barhorst. She's from Louisville. She's a student at U of K. Two or three days ago, she started a Facebook page called Save Your Ecstasy, unbeknownst to me. And I think the first time I looked at it, we had maybe 1,500 friends on there. Today, it's over 19,000. It's because one person cares enough about this store. Just to put it in perspective, This store has had its own Facebook page for a number of years. We only have 4,500 friends. So. Obviously, we're not doing something right, you know? I've always been interested in music. It became apparent to me at a very early age how important music could be and how powerful of an art it is. I use this example all the time. I was a music fan before the Beatles first appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, but watching that show solidified it for me. I knew that I had to be involved with music. I already loved it, but just to see the power that a musician, that an artist could create, definitely touched my soul. And I've been passionate about music. Been passionate about music ever since. Thank you, Ron. I never really thought about being here 24, going on 25 years after I started this. I've been selling records since I'd left high school. 1976, I moved to Louisville for a record store right down the street, Karma Records. I'd never been to Louisville before, and the first day here, it felt like home. There was something about this street, this neighborhood, this city, that just, it felt right. And I can't thank people enough for supporting what I've tried to do here. Originally, I just wanted to be the kid behind the counter selling records. And here I am, 37 years later, the kid in front of you, still wanting to sell records. One thing I want to address is the perception of your ecstasy and the reality, and this gets to the heart of the matter. So many people have told me what this store means to them, and that it's, you know, it's an institution and it's iconic and it's a big part of their lives. And all I wanted was a record store. Obviously, the music business has been in the toilet for a long time. I've always said I can survive the music business. I can survive the industry. All the changes, we can deal with the changes. The digital changes, we have a digital website, a download site that offers better quality downloads than iTunes. I can't compete with Apple. I can't compete with iTunes. I can't compete with Amazon. I'm one store in Louisville, Kentucky, but I'm doing my best. The economy has killed us. I understand that people don't have money to spend on music like they used to. But the reality is we have a lot of people that have made gracious offers for benefits, for donations, for gifts, for, you know, bake sales, whatever. I appreciate that. The only thing that will truly save this business is your continued support in your business. If off the top of my head, if every one of the 19,000 people on our Save Ear Ecstasy Facebook page came in here and spent a dollar a day for a month, this store could live for a few more years. It's that simple. I'm not asking for a bailout. I'm not asking for a handout. I'm asking for that proverbial hand up. Like I said, the easy thing for me to do right now would be to turn off the lights, lock the door, and walk away. But the store is not mine. It's the people that have supported it and built it. And I can't do that to them. So that's the gist of it. This store can survive. It's just, it's not up to me anymore. It's up to the people that that see the value of this store and the value that it brings to the community. We've always supported local artists. I started the Ear Ecstasy record label years ago, and not to make money, because it certainly has done nothing but lose money, but we've released 54 records, and they're all great records. I'm very proud of all of them, and most people have never heard of them. We've always tried to support the community in any way we can with donations and sponsorships and whatever. And in the last few years, I've just had to basically say no because we don't have the money. Business has been bad for the last straight 3 years. I've propped up the store as best I can with what little savings and retirement money I've put aside over the years. It's not been much. The staff has stuck in here with me. working for less than what they're worth. Most of the staff have not had raises in 3 years. I've tapped out all the resources I have to prop this up, so I'm the hardest thing for me to ever do is ask for help. And I guess what I'm doing is asking for the help and support of the people that really value this store. So with that, again, I'm humbled, I'm honored, I'm a little bit embarrassed, but I just felt the right thing to do was to be honest with the people that love this store and the people that have supported this store. And Louisville's been a great place. I want this to continue. Whether I'm here or not, I want this store to live on. So with that, thank you. Okay, I'm not done yet. This is my encore. This is where the tears start flowing. I've not asked anybody to write anything or say anything about this store. I can't read this. Is there anybody here that wants to read this? You want to read it, Rebecca? It's Rebecca Cornwell, my store manager. This is a letter that came from a former employee who's now living in Stockholm, Sweden. His name's Scott Richer. He's he's a Renaissance man, to say the least. He's a musician, he's an artist, he's a designer, he's a political activist, and he's a hell of a human being. And he wrote this, and I just can't read it. I got this yesterday. And I think this says it all. That word there is made, okay.
It's funny that he thinks I can read this. Okay, hey John, I just wanted to take a moment to wish you the best of luck tomorrow. I'm sure you hear this a lot, but I know for sure that my life would not have been the same without your ecstasy. You and the store have provided so many opportunities for me over the years, not just in buying and selling music, but in the community and the relationships that have grown from that shared experience. The support you and the store have given me and the countless others over the years have been truly priceless. I know that I would not have become who I am today, either publicly and privately, without your ecstasy having been a part of my life. I have always admired your dedication to the store and to Louisville. Whatever the future may hold, I want to thank you wholeheartedly for everything you've already done that has helped shape the lives of many and has made so much more possible beyond simply the music. Best regards, Scott Richer.
Amen. I know, I appreciate it. The media has any questions? I don't know how to go about this, but just ask and I'll tell you what I know. Yes.
Obviously the whole community loves you.
Yeah.
I live in Highland, I drive past this place all the time.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. I mean, this has been looming for a long time. And, you know, my lease is up in 2 months. I still have a 5-year option on this space. I've been here 15 years and I want to stay. But, you know, the reality is I can't afford the rent. I've cut expenses in every way that I can. I've not let an employee go because I can't afford them. We've cut back hours. And the staff has been, you know, incredible in finding other part-time jobs because they do love this store. And they could be making more money, you know, flipping burgers at McDonald's, most of them. I honestly believe this store can go on, but it's hard for me to ask for help. Like I said, I'm not asking for a bailout. I need business. I need the support. You know, it's more convenient to go to buy the CD at the department store when you're, you know, buying groceries and getting tires for your car. I understand that, but this is much more than a record store. And I think that people like Scott Richer and a lot of the people here that are not here for the media, that are just fans of the store, a lot of musicians and very talented people, they could put it in a better perspective than I could. But It's just a matter of the continued support that we've seen over the last 2 days. I mean, yesterday we had a day that, you know, was kind of like the old days, you know. And it's, I know the business is out there. We saw it for a week at Christmas. I do understand that everybody's hurting, that people are out of work, and that, you know, they're scared to spend their money. The only thing that I think is going to bring back the economy, period, is people letting loose of a little money. You know, the credit industry's putting the screws on everybody. I just honestly believe that that this can work, and I, you know, if the response affirms that, then I'll do everything I can to keep the doors open, whether it's here or another location.
I have a two-part question.
First, yes.
Growing up in Louisville, I just remember whenever you ask someone about something that's hard to get,
yeah,
this is the one place that
they right.
mention. So with that said, do you think that it has a lot to do with Apple and iTunes, where people can just, the comforts of their own home?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then my second part is, with this many people, I mean, this is probably the only store in the city where people come from all over, from the east, the south, everywhere. So do you think after today that, are you confident that it will save the store?
As far as saving the store, I can only hope. Like I said, the outpouring and the well wishes and the offers the last few days have been overwhelming. It's not just a quick fix. It's not, you know, well, let's go shop at Ear Ecstasy this week and then the business goes away again. It's not going to sustain us. And let me make a point of this. Obviously, this is about my store, about Ear Ecstasy. But this applies to so many locally owned independent businesses here in Louisville that I just decided to put a face on what's going on in the Louisville community. We all take things for granted. A lot of people have taken the store for granted for years, and I understand that. It just needs your support. Well, the iTunes thing, I think iTunes is great. Steve Jobs at Apple got it right. You know, the music industry could not figure out how to work its way out of a paper bag, and Steve Jobs made it easy to access music. Has it hurt? Yeah, it's hurt a little bit. What really hurts is the people that don't buy music but just download it illegally. That's another part of what's... It's just my opinion, but... If an artist wants to give you his music, his or her music, their music, that's totally up to them. But I spoke to a high school about 3 months ago, and over the years I've talked to schools all over town. I always do a survey, who buys music? Everybody raised their hand, and then I asked how many people actually come to a record store. 2 out of 30. How many of you actually pay for your music? 2 out of 30. So, you know, the perception is that music should be free, that you can access it for free. You can steal it all day long. But I think iTunes is great. I think we have a great download site for right now. I don't know how much longer I can keep it up there, because it's financially, it's a money pit. There's no way to make money selling 99-cent tracks or $1.39 tracks. Can't do it. This is how the store will survive. The fact that we get artists from total unknowns to huge names to play this room is another way that I've been able to keep this store going. I've told my nieces many times that John Mayer played this store standing right here to 100 people, and they're like, no way. Well, now if you want to go see John Mayer, you got to go to Freedom Hall before it sells out. We've had great support from all the local musicians, big name groups, Foo Fighters. Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters wanted to play the store on Independence Day a number of years ago. They played here. Later that night, they played Freedom Hall right here in this room. Perhaps the all-time favorite and end-all, be-all in-store was a Louisville band most people don't know, My Morning Jacket. I can't thank them enough. Every band is a local band somewhere, and they are a prime example of the music community that Louisville offers to the world. You know, these guys played our store before they were going to perform at Bonnaroo, was it? A few days after they played here, they played to, you know, tens of thousands of people at Bonnaroo. You know, they play on, you know, all the late night shows. Sold out Madison Square Garden for New Year's Eve past year or year before. I mean, just the amount of support and talent that have passed through this store, I just can't see this going away. So, end of that ramble. Next question.
John, I know you don't want to negotiate your lease in public, but as much as you can share, what are your feelings about renewing your lease or taking advantage of, you said you had an offer for space about what that would do to allow the store to continue? Obviously, free rent's a big deal.
Free rent is a big deal, and I don't want to divulge who's offered that, but it's not on Bardstown Road, and I don't think this store would, it'll never be the same after today. This is out in the open, you know, it's everybody knows that we're hurting. I can only be honest with that. I prefer to stay in this spot or on Bardstown Road. Let me just say, I'm working with the people representing the owners of the building, and you know, I want to find a way to make it work. But without the business, you know, I can't afford any rent right now, no matter what it is. Like I said, the last few days have been encouraging. I know I won't negotiate the lease in public, but again, I'm going to try to do everything I can to make it work.
Yeah.
Yes. We have talked about that. I may have to, you know, give up space here, which obviously we have more space than we need right now. I mean, the way that business has been the last 3 years, it's been pretty apparent that we've had to cut back on inventory and merchandise that we stock. I have a 800 square foot space upstairs that's just being used for storage right now. We've talked about incorporating other businesses into this business, but it's got to be the right fit, you know. First and foremost, I just want this to be a great record store. I want it to be the best store it can possibly be. And, you know, if downsizing is what I have to do, then I will do that. And if moving is what I have to do, I will do that. But ultimately, it's not up to me. It's up to the people that that choose to spend their money here. Yeah, yesterday. No, it's been a gradual slip in business. I mean, it's probably been the last year that I've really seen a decline. But then again, you'll have hundreds of people show up for an in-store performance, and people do buy music. But there are a lot of times where, you know, the number of employees here outnumber the customers. Fortunately, the last few days, it's been back to what it has been and what it could be, and that is very encouraging. I think in the last year with the economy is what has really set off the alarm. I could have done this press conference 2 or 3 years ago, just to let people know. But I understand that, you know, a lot of people just think I'm begging for their money, which is not true. I want their business. I want your business. I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
John, I'm not a member of the press. On behalf of outlaw poets everywhere, which I am, but I grew up on a farm in West Kentucky in Ohio County, where bluegrass was born.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm here to say thank you, and we're all in this together, and we're all going through hard times.
Yeah.
I'm just back in Louisville, my favorite city on planet Earth, as much as I love New York and any other place.
Amen. There's no place like this.
There's no place like Louisville, and there's no store like your Exes and Records. And on behalf of local artists, I'm going to say that I donated my books and CDs.
I appreciate that, Ron. I do. I do. I know. I know. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. Ron Whitehead. Yes.
I'm also not a member of a press. I'm sorry.
No. I just wanted the press to get this out there. It's just
my heart's beating so fast. I really don't know how to put this into words. I'm not a Louisville native. I came here from Southern California when I was about 10 years old, and I remember when I bought my first vinyl here, when I got my first like turntable.
Yeah.
What your ecstasy means to local music, and especially to public radio, is incredible. I had my first public radio experience in an internship at WFBK. I bought my first vinyl here. Mm-hmm. And what you've done will live in the hearts and minds of everyone in Louisville, and I hope to God that your ecstasy stays alive.
I do too. Thank you. Thank you. Paul? Yeah, I mean, this is not. Well, Paul, you know my story. I'm not a business person. I've never had a business class, a marketing class. I've worked in record stores all my life. I started this store with my record collection and a cash advance of $500 on my Master Charge card back in the day. That's about as stupid as you can get. People ask me all the time, what's my business plan? My business plan has always been stay in business another day, keep it going. We've had all sorts of great suggestions from people on the internets. Keep those coming. Some of them are very helpful. Some of them are very hurtful. And some of them are pretty insightful. It's been said that business started to go away when I cut my hair about 3 years ago. Well, it's fallen out, so I had to do something. We recently had the building painted after fighting the dull gray color that it was for the last 15 years. We finally got it painted, and somebody suggested that perhaps if we raise enough money, we can change the colors from making this look like a daycare. I think it looks more like a Mexican restaurant, but I'll tell you, painting, we chose, my manager and I chose those, yeah, it's actually her idea. Let's find some colors that are just gonna make them go, what? And that's worked. But obviously somebody thinks, you know, this is all because of the color of the building, and that's not it. Paul, I'm gonna take all these suggestions and ideas that people have, you know, I can't give you free music. I can't pay the bills that way. I can't sell music at cost or below like a lot of box stores do, because this is what we do. We sell music. We sell other things because we don't make much money on music to begin with. But I'm going to take a look at all the suggestions and ideas. And, you know, I have always said that I listen to the customers as to what they want. And I think that's why the store has been around 24 years and hopefully 25. I'm going to listen to the customers, but I just felt that I owed them the message that, you know, to know the situation as it is, you know, and this business could go away in a few months, and I don't want that to happen, and I don't think that everybody wants us to go away.
How long can you sustain at this rate?
Seriously, I would, you know, the easy thing to do would to be to shut it down in 2 months. It's lost money the last 3 years. I honestly believe that it can survive. I mean, obviously it's got to change. If I have to downsize, I'll do it. But whatever it takes.
I know when you started the store. Is this what you envisioned, like the people from all walks of life? I mean,
When I started the store in '85, it was actually at Poplar Level Road at the Waterson Expressway in a 300 square foot space. It's now an entrance ramp to the Waterson Expressway. They state, put a ramp when they widen the Waterson. The first store on Bardstown Road was next to the Great Escape, which was about 800 square feet. The store started off as a very niche-oriented store because it's all I knew and it's all I could afford to do. It was called an alternative record store, which at the time seemed to mean something. We were selling music that most stores did not carry, and we encouraged local musicians to come in and let us sell their cassettes and their 45s and their albums. And over the years, I realized that, that musical universe is so huge and so untapped that there needed to be more of a venue for everybody that wants to buy music could come and shop. And I think with this store, we've succeeded. If we were just an indie rock store, we would have been dead years ago. If we only sold Barry Manilow records and, the top 50, we would have been dead years ago. I want this place to be a store where anybody who is into any type of music can come and find what they're looking for and hopefully discover something they didn't know existed.
I feel like in the last few years, it seems like the city has made a big push to help businesses downtown. Restaurants have closed down. The city's helped them open back up.
Yeah.
I don't think it's overreaching to say that this store is kind of a local institution. Is it a little frustrating that you haven't seen the city reach out to you, or have they?
No, not really, but I have not asked for help from the city. I know that a lot of small businesses are frustrated with money being channeled to out-of-town entities. As much as I don't like 4th Street Live, I do think that it has helped build the downtown life a little bit more. I wish they would have included locally owned businesses. But they had approached me early on about licensing the name of Ear Ecstasy for a club. But they really didn't want locally owned businesses down there. And they may argue that, but I was told that. Yes?
Does the coalition have any sort of long-term plan for downloading for seeing the general health of markets?
You're speaking about the Coalition of Independent Music Stores?
Do you guys have any sort of strategic plan?
A lot of people don't know what he's referring to. I think it's been almost 15 years ago. There's a group of independent stores around the country that got together and formed the Coalition of Independent Music Stores, otherwise known as SIMS. And I'm one of the founding members of SIMS. I'm on the board of directors currently. We're looking for any ways to keep our stores viable and relevant. It's through the coalition that I'm able to have a digital download site. We got into the business just because, obviously that's the trend now. Everything's going digital, supposedly. It's taken about $500,000 of investment just to get the site up and running, and it's bleeding money profusely, even though it's a great site and it offers better quality downloads than iTunes. We're working with a lot of artists to secure exclusive releases. My Morning Jacket was gracious enough to record their in-store here and record their concert down at the waterfront in front of 10,000 people. And that record was released to independent record stores and in their support of what we do. We've worked with artists like John Mayer for the same thing. We're looking for any way to continue to make the record store viable. And to be honest, folks, this will be a physical goods store more than anything. You know, I understand people want to download music, but tell the kid who comes in and buys a vinyl record now that that's going to go away again. They're buying turntables, they're buying vinyl. It's not just old farts like me that still like records. It's kids have discovered there's something about a tangible piece of art. It's, you know, it's maybe impractical as hell, it may be bulky, but it means a whole lot more than a digital file on your hard drive. That's old school talking. Yeah, Jim. Sure, sure.
I feel like if they had printers, they could print out carburetors instead of autos.
That's right.
You know, people, it's a crisis because people can't afford health care. You know, so how can they afford it?
Exactly.
So the thing I'm wondering is I think there will always be a market for people like us who like vinyl who want to come to the record store, but with the compact disc and the DVD slowly becoming the 8-track tape.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know, have some vintage instruments, maybe a couple of music go around or something. So
yeah.
You still got your music based store.
Right.
You're selling vinyl and
yeah.
CDs. People are still buying them.
Yeah.
But something that can make it all encompassing, music education, music instrument sales, vintage sales, you know.
That has been, yeah, people have suggested all sorts of things just like that, Jim. And we are entertaining whatever we can do to keep this going. I understand the business has to change. I just don't think the business has to die just yet. You know, there's a life cycle to everything. And, you know, George Harrison said it well with all things must pass. I feel that the time for this to pass is not now. There's been talk about possibly turning this into a co-op, which, you know, that's a concept that works for some other businesses. I just want to take all this information and suggestions from people that love this store and find a way to make it work.
Yeah.
You know, short term, obviously, I need your support. Long term, I need your support. But, you know, what changes we have to make, we will make. But keep the ideas coming, please.
Hey, John.
Yes. Yeah.
And we bought a CD I didn't want to buy, and my kids have not stopped looking through the CD insert.
Yeah.
And that is what I think people are missing now.
Yeah.
When they download stuff.
Yeah.
One of the first things that I do when I buy a CD is go home and read the whole all the lines. And who do they think?
Yeah, I'm always looking for my name, let me tell you.
And, I mean,
doesn't happen very often.
A lot
but
of people in here probably have kids, and I think instead of going to McDonald's, come to Eric's and see him buy a CD.
Yeah.
And I'll just say it's Owl City. I have to say it.
Okay.
But I think I'm cool because of you.
Well.
And I know there's other musicians here that probably want to say the same thing.
Well, to be honest, I've never been cool in my life.
You are.
No, I'm not. I've got a cool staff at a cool store, and you know, I'm happy just to kind of watch it all happen. It's been an incredible ride, and I just don't think it's over yet. I hope not. Anybody else? Man, I didn't cry much at all.
What happens when the lease comes up?
Well, you know, it's coming up very fast, and, you know, obviously the sooner we make a decision, the better. But I think that the owners are willing to let me hang on to this space a little bit longer until we can come to an agreement where it works for both parties. I don't know what that is yet. We're still working on it, but so far it's been encouraging that they're willing to entertain a lot of ideas with me. So I can't ask for more than that. Other than free rent, I'm not going to point them out here, but they're here. So.
Oh,
yeah. You know, if the store goes away, it's going to affect, at least I assume it's going to affect a lot of the culture in Louisville. And I don't mean to sound pompous, but I think this is tied into the local music scene, the local concert scene, local radio, mainly the Public Radio Partnership, who have been totally supportive of my business over the years. There's a synergy between the radio that actually plays the artist, the record store that actually sells and stock the artist, and the concert that is possible because of that synergy. And I'm afraid that if this goes away, that that's going to diminish some of the potential and some of the value of other businesses. We try to do as much business with locally owned companies. There's a company called Monkey Drive that does a lot of our t-shirts and logo merchandise. And, you know, at Christmas I owed Chris at Monkey Drive $10,000. And, you know, with me not being able to pay him, he's not able to pay his vendors, he's not able to pay his employees. And if I go out of business, where does that leave him, you know? So, you know, this store is more than just a record store. It's tied in with the Louisville business community, the independent community, and it's tied into all things related to music here. Will Louisville, you know, still be a music mecca without this store? Yeah, the talent's out there. I think that we've been very fortunate to be able to give the local scene and added exposure and added venue. Yep.
John, a little bit on top of that, can you tell people about SoundScan and the model example we were talking about the other day, like how,
yeah,
in a way we do
drive, yeah,
people to town to play concerts?
Yeah.
I think general people don't know a lot of that.
Randy's talking about SoundScan, which is a national measurement of what is actually selling music-wise in the country and where it's selling. And before this store was SoundScan, the perception in the concert business and the music business was that Louisville only sold country and soul records. And once we became a SoundScan reporter, that whole perception changed, and there were more concerts coming to Louisville, and more artists being exposed here, and more artists coming through town, just because we were reporting what we sold. A couple of months ago, maybe a month ago, we had an artist here, Dave Rawlings, the Dave Rawlings Machine. He and Gillian Welch and members of Old Crow Medicine Show make up the Dave Rawlings Machine. And Dave made an interesting comment saying that, you know, they were fortunate to have this store that the week of the release of their new record, Ear Ecstasy sold more than New York City, which means they didn't sell a whole lot. But, I mean, the fact that this store can outsell New York City on a great record like that is a testament to the people that do support this store and do support the artists that come through here. That's true.
Important statement you said about how important not only your ecstasy is for Louisville, but within Sims, within independent retail as a whole.
Yeah.
It speaks volumes of how important the store is.
Jeffrey, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Penny Griffin told my baby here.
She did. If anybody needs one-on-one time with me, I'm available. I'm just looking forward to getting a good night's sleep tonight. I've got this off my chest. And thank you for supporting us. Thank you for covering this. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.